All right, good morning, everybody. Get set up here and we'll get going. All right, so we're going to continue. The last time I spoke, we were in Romans 6, and we got to verse 12, and we're going to pick it up again in verse 12, but just a quick review of what I've been talking about on my Sundays is vision. You know, what is our vision? You know, we have a vision for the valley, but we have personal vision. And then every sermon since then is we have to know who our God is. Because if we don't know who our God is, if we don't know how good he is, if we don't know what he truly wants for us, then vision is extremely difficult to come by because we're not seeing him in the light that we should be. So that's, and this is just a continuation of that. So we're going to pick up in Romans 6, verse 12. It says, therefore. So anytime in the Bible you see the word therefore, you have to know what it's there for, right? I learned that in school. It's really cheesy, but it really works. Because what did we learn about last time? Freedom from sin, right? Jesus died for us. He conquered sin and death so we can walk in freedom from sin. Now, it's a choice. We have to choose to walk in that freedom. But that's what that therefore is there for. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. Verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. So, present. Do not present. What am I doing right now? I'm presenting a message to you. So I am taking an action, correct? If I had a gift for you, I would present this gift to Pastor Joe, and I had to do something. So anytime we're walking in sin, we're presenting ourselves to that sin. Because we learned in the previous 11 verses that we can walk free of sin. Now, we have a sin nature, but I believe as we walk through this life, that can become less and less and less, and righteousness and holiness can grow and grow and grow. But it comes through relationship. But how do we present ourselves? How do I present myself? Do I present myself different here than I do when I show up at work? I did for a long time before I was a pastor. I mean, before I was a pastor, I went to church and I was a good church guy. But then when I went to work, nobody knew anything about me. Nobody could see any difference in me. So it was very hard to present God in any sort of fashion because I looked just like everybody else. How are we presenting ourselves? And now you'll say, well, Pastor, it's not about works. I know it's not about works. But with relationship with Christ comes works. It just does. You know, James talks about it. Let's just go there quick. James, we haven't all heard it, maybe. But I'm going to do it anyways. James, go with me to James 2. Start in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren? James 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, does that meet any of their needs? Does that meet any of the needs that they're struggling with right now? Be filled, brother. See, I'll pat you on the back, and there you go. Maybe we've experienced it, potentially. But, let's keep reading. What does it profit? Thus, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. It seems harsh, but it's not. When we start to understand the base of it, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. It's not about works, but when I start to grow in relationship with Jesus Christ and I start to grow in the word, the works just come because I see you and I see a need and I want to fill that need. I have compassion towards you. I was so very proud of my mother-in-law. Last winter or the winter before, it was really, really cold outside. And we saw somebody walking by, and they didn't have a jacket on. I was like, it's pretty weird because it's like 20 below. You should have a jacket on when it's 20 below. But she said, you know what? I have lots of jackets. I'm going to give her a jacket. Hopped out in the car, drove down the street, presented the jacket. The jacket was rejected. But that's not the point. We don't know what that interaction can cause and start. We don't know what that seed may accomplish in that woman from just offering to fill that need. When the Holy Spirit leads us to do it, do it. Don't be disappointed by the outcome. Just be obedient. Because you don't know what that seed is doing. Man, you never know. They could meet up in heaven one day and say, this woman could say, you know what? You offering that jacket to me really got me thinking. I don't know. It could be the spark or start of something. We don't know. But if she would have just sat there and watched her and said, be blessed and be filled as she walked by, there was no interaction. There was no point of contact. So, how do I present myself? What's coming out of me that's showing Christ? I'll put it that way. If I'm ticked off all the time and look really grouchy, nobody really wants to come and talk to me. Don't hit Marv. Just kidding. No, I mean, but it's truth, right? Nobody saw a difference in me, so nobody had questions. I was useless, in a sense, because I had nothing to give. I didn't want to give anything. I wanted to look grouchy because I wanted nobody to talk to me, if I'm being honest. Thank God he changes hearts. And despite my past, I really like people now. I'll even go as far as say I love people now. But it's not because of me. It's because of what he's done in me. So we have to yield. The King James says yield, but we have to present our bodies to something. It's either to sin or it's to righteousness. You know, sin has whatever authority we give it. That's just the bottom line. Sin can't force you to do anything. We have to choose to do it. It's birthed up in our mind. We can either squash it, or we can let it fester, and we can let it grow, and then we can act on it. And sometimes it's become such a big part of our lives, it just becomes habit. But what are we giving our authority to? Because with authority comes power. So if I give my authority over to sin, it has power over me. But if I exercise my authority over sin, I have the power to rise above it. I have the power to free myself from it. But what side of the aisle are we on here? Am I giving my authority away or am I utilizing my authority? How willing are we to walk in this new redeemed life, this new redeemed body? How willing are we to accept the fact that we're new creations? I'm not what I was before. Are we willing to look at ourselves like that? Or do we still see ourselves, because I did for a very long time and I still struggle with things, Do I see myself as Christ sees me? Because it's not about how I see myself. It's not about how you see yourself. It's about how Jesus Christ sees you, because he redeemed you. He set you free. He doesn't see you as a failure. He doesn't see you as a sinner. He sees you as his child. But are we focusing on that, or are we focusing on everything we've done wrong? Everything we're going to do wrong? Do you know if you focus on everything you're going to do wrong, you're going to continue to do things wrong? It seems, you know, you speak it out sometimes and it's like, whoa, that's really obvious. But, man, sometimes when we're living it out, it doesn't seem as obvious. But if I'm constantly filling my head with garbage, garbage is going to come out. Because that's just how it works. I wish it didn't work that way. I wish some of these principles that I read in the Bible didn't have to be the way that they are, but that's the way it is, and I'm a Christian, so that's how it needs to be. One foot in sin and one foot with God just doesn't work. Not saying that you're not saved. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are saved. You are redeemed. But we can walk a different life. I don't have to walk this life out like I did before. I don't have to walk this life out as a failure, but I have to know who I am. I have to, because if I don't know who I am, I'm just a failure. I'm just a guy that never does anything right. Why even try? Because it's going to fail. That's, just being honest, that's who I was. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. It shall not, if you choose not to let it. This isn't a guarantee. This is a call to action. It's a call to action. What am I going to rely on? The word? Am I going to rely on this promise that I'm a new creation? And am I going to walk in a different direction? Or am I just going to go back to old faithful? Nope. You can't do this. What are you really trying to do here? Do you honestly think that you can be a pastor? I hear it all the time. Do you honestly think, with the things you've done, that you can be effective? Yes, I do. That's the difference. Yes, I can be effective. Because what I've lived through can help somebody. That's the difference. I don't go back into depression. I don't go back into anxiety. I step up and I say, you know what? You're darn right. Because I know it's helped people. And I know it's going to continue to help people, because that is what Christ has called me to do. So, anyone who is using grace to justify sin is wrong. Flat out. Because right here it says, we have dominion over sin. He wouldn't give us dominion over it if we were supposed to live in it. Sorry, you're wrong. There's sometimes when I try to be sweet and gentle about it, but there's sometimes where it just has to be, no, that's wrong. I'm sorry. Because nothing in the word says that's right. Nothing. Nothing about grace, nothing about redemption is supposed to lead you and continue on in sin. God hates sin. That's why he died for it. That's why he took it all on, so we can be free from it and have relationship with him again. So why in the world would we think we can do it a different way? Well, because I like to do this kind of stuff. Fill in your own stuff, I don't know. But I like to do that. Well, I like to do a lot of things too, but it was destroying my life. What? Where are we? Are we walking in sin? Or are we going to walk in what Christ has for us? True grace gives us the ability to rise above sin. That's what true grace is. Because under the law, it didn't matter how good you were, you still failed. You couldn't do enough good under the law to be redeemed, to be justified. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do enough under the law to be saved. There's a whole lot of wonderful moral sinners. Sounds funny, but we know people that are just good people. They're good people. They do the right things. They treat people with respect. They show up at work. They have good work ethics. They don't beat their kids. All these things. Like, they're just good people. But I'm sorry, good isn't good enough. Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And if they don't choose Jesus Christ, it's sad. Because they spent their whole life trying to be good, trying to earn something, they spent their whole life and they still fell short. That's why we needed salvation. That's why we needed Jesus Christ to do what he did, to die and rise again, because now we have the power. When we accept Jesus Christ, we have authority. And with authority comes power. But are we exercising it? Do we even believe we have it? A lot of people don't even, this is very, not good. It's not good. It's not good what you're preaching, Pastor. I've heard them. You can't say we can not ever sin. Maybe not, but I sure as heck can continue on and have sin be less and less and less and less and less and less and less in my life. Because when sin is less and less and less and less and less, my relationship is growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And my power and authority is growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And my effectiveness is becoming more and more and more and more. And my vision is focusing. And man, gets you a little fired up. We have this authority. Are we exercising this authority? Or are we living under, it's easy to fall into the works trap. It really is. We need to constantly be on guard of this stuff. From people around us, from our own past. My own past wants to creep up on me a lot and pull me back into it. Because then I'm powerless. Because then I give my authority away. And it's not, I'm not going to go back to that place. I'm not going to go back to that place. Because nothing good came from that place. So verse 15, what then? And even Paul says it here. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. No. That's not how it is. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave who you obey, whether in sin leading to death or obedience leading to life? Now there's some hot button words in here. Slave, obey. Oh man, people are getting fired up. But really, thinking about the world right now, those two words are hot, but I don't care. Are we slave to sin or slave to righteousness? Because we're serving one or the other. We're serving one or the other. And we need to, as Christians, as gospel-believing Christians, as spirit-filled Christians, there is a line. There's God, and then there's sin. Which side are we on? Which side is more beneficial, I should say? Because I'm always going to say it, you don't have to do anything. You don't. You can get saved and just, I mean, you can check out. I don't advise it, but you can. And you'll limp through this life. You'll get to heaven. You'll be welcome. But man, there's going to be a realization, I believe, of what it could have been. He's going to be wiping away tears for a reason. There's going to be I don't think it's going to last, right? Because there's nothing. But I think there'll be a realization of, I could have done that. I could have impacted that. You know. And that's okay, because man, we got eternity to figure it out. Thank God. But my challenge is, we don't have to live that way. This life doesn't have to be that. This life does not have to be mediocre. This life does not have to be boring. This life can be fulfilling. And then we just carry it on to the next. Man, that's where I want to be. I want every moment I have left in this life to be what Christ has for me, to be fulfilling, to be impactful. Because why not? What else am I going to do? Sit down and watch TV? Right? Man, I can be super lazy. I can. But when I got up from in front of the TV, life began. Man, when I got up and started letting Christ live in and through me, life truly began. It took a lot of years. It took a lot of years. Too late. If you're breathing, it's not too late. Man. Doesn't matter how young, old, I know I sound like a broken record sometimes, but it doesn't matter. But who are we obeying? And obedience is not a bad word. Obedience comes out of love. God's not up there smushing us down, obey. That's not who he is. He's loving us and loving us and loving us and loving us. And because he first loved me, I can start to love. And obedience just turns into relationship, in my opinion. Because we're walking in relationship. We're walking hand in hand. I see what he sees. I feel what he sees. I want to help who he wants me to help. And it just flows out of you. It doesn't automatically start that way. But it can get to that point. Walking down the street. I gave this testimony before, but I was supposed to give this waitress $20 and tell her God love her. I didn't. Disappointed with myself, but oh well. I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to go back. I went back multiple times, and she was never there. Still look for her when I go, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't work there anymore. Dang it. In my nicest way of saying it. Shoot. But I can get really down on myself, or I can say I repent. You gave me an obvious, easy, like this was an easy one. Like, easy. Just give her $20 and tell her God loves her. Easy. And I still just balked at it. But thankfully since then, because God's faithful, he's just, I said, I repent, Lord. Give me other opportunities, and I've had other opportunities. And I'm getting better. I still miss it, but I'm getting better at it. But that's this relationship. It's relationship, relationship, relationship. Who we present ourselves to is who we serve. And if you think that just being apathetic to anything is you staying out of it, well, I just don't get into it. You're getting into something. Your silence is getting you into something. Your inaction is getting you into something. Because we either serve him or we don't. There's no in between. And I pray that this isn't coming across as condemnation, because that's not what this is. It's the challenge. It's a difference. There's a difference. We have to be able to challenge each other without being offended, without walking away and going, oh my gosh, he's the meanest pastor I've ever met. No. I want us to be who Christ has called us to be, and sometimes there's a challenge involved. Because I've walked through it, and I'm going to continue to walk through it. But I can tell you, by walking through it and receiving and accepting what he has, it doesn't get better. There is nothing that this world offers that can compare to walking with Jesus Christ, to having a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing. Nothing. In this life, we obey or serve someone or something. All these independent free thinkers, they were all influenced by somebody. There is nothing new under the sun. That's what the Bible says. There is nothing new. You are being influenced, or you are influencing someone at all times. Thus, what are we exposing ourselves to? What are we exposing others to? It's important. It matters. Because it's one or the other. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, I understand this is talking about money, but the same principle applies to everything. I can't serve God in my work. I can't put my job over what he's calling me to do. I can't put my family over what he's calling me to do. Now, when I'm walking in what he's calling me to do, my family is taken care of, provided for. I have no doubt about that. But when I'm totally ignoring what he has for me, I got to help my kids. I got to help my wife. I got to do this in my own strength. I need another job. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need more money. It doesn't end well. Because that's not who we're taking on responsibilities that don't belong to us. We're taking on responsibilities that we can't handle, that we can't overcome without him. Without relationship with him. So everything we do is being influenced or influencing somebody else. And trust me, writing this, I've had to really do some self-thought and, oh man, what are other people seeing from me? And I don't know where each and every one of you are. I hope you're better than I am, but it's just one of those things. It matters. What we do in this life matters. And you can take that as, oh boy. Or you can take that as the challenge. People are going to see me a different way. Perspective. Perspective. People are going to see me a different way because I am this. I am a child of God. I am a new creation. I don't have to walk in the things I walked in before. I don't have to do it. I can choose to do it, but I don't have to do it. When sin knocks at the door, I can choose to open it. or I can keep the door shut. Now, there may be a little bit of a fight involved. Sometimes there's a big fight involved of keeping that door shut. But I know when we rely on Christ, when we go to the Word about who we are, that door can remain shut. Far too many people are in the trouble they're in because they gave up. Yes, there's times where it's hard. There's times where I wanted to quit. I didn't want to do this. Because the temptation of going back to just being nothing and doing nothing at times seemed better than having to deal with things. I had to deal with a lot of things in my life, and it opened up a lot of... I had to expose myself, and that's... nobody really likes to do that. Nobody really likes to expose their faults. Nobody really... I had to apologize to people. Those hurt. But the freedom that it gave me, the victory that came, well, yeah. So what do we look like? What do I look like? What are people seeing the love of Christ in us as we go out in our day? And this is not a have to. And if there isn't something being noticed, let's just go to God. All right, Lord, where am I missing it? We can go to God about these things. We can talk with the Holy Spirit and say, where am I missing it? It's okay to continue to grow. It's allowed. It's okay. Verse 17, but God, man, I love when I see that. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the doctrine being the gospel, to which you were delivered. You have a choice. We all have a choice. No matter how dark it gets, we can choose Christ. No matter how terrible we think we are, we can choose Christ. Verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you have become slaves to righteousness. You know, the King James says servants, and sometimes that sounds a little nicer, but they mean the same thing. So I looked it up. They mean the same thing. You know, but it's these hot topic words. Obey, I don't want to obey. I'm not a slave. Well, I beg to differ. But one leads to righteousness and one leads to death. It's odd to think about, and I think about this often, how slavery leads to freedom. Wrap your head around that one a little while. Still working on it. But the idea here is it's not so much physical, fleshly. I believe this is much more spiritual. Because when our spirit is in line with God, our flesh comes in line with God. So it's not as bad as you're thinking. But it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to serve Him because everything He is good. Everything He has for you is good. Everything He wants for you is good. So where's the problem? No, it comes through serving. It does come through serving. Like I said earlier, I got saved, but I checked out, and nothing good came from it. Nothing. So we still have the choice. That's why I say it's more spiritual than it is flesh, because we have the choice. What is our choice? So we must stop identifying with this old man. We must see ourselves as a new creation. We have to. Only then can we start to overcome. If I continue to see myself as who I was defeated. That's what I was defeated. And without Jesus Christ, there was no overcoming it. So I have to see myself. If we never see ourselves as Christ sees us, man, we're in trouble. Christ sees you so much different than you see yourself. So much different. It could be why people cry too, because they're going to just get up there and experience love like they've never experienced love before in their life. They're going to realize how much God truly loves us, loves you. There's going to be this just influx of, I didn't have to live that way. I didn't have to live a defeated life. You still don't have to live a defeated life. So I do want to define servant or slave real quick here, because that's what I do. So, I like how Thayer says it. You know, it's a slave, a bondman, a man of servile condition. But it also says, one who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. And I believe that's what this is talking about. It's this choice that when our spirit was renewed, that when our spirit became a new man, that I serve you. I serve you. And I am going to walk out the will and purpose and vision that you have for my life. I'm going to choose that. And then that's what the rest of this life is. Choosing what he has over what the world has, over what our fleshly desires are. Because as our spirits become aligned with Christ, as our mind becomes aligned with Christ, our flesh follows. And it's amazing how different you see people. All of a sudden there's compassion for somebody where there was never compassion before. Obedience is victory. Obedience to Christ is victory. It's not a bad word. Now, it's been abused. I'll say it's been abused, no doubt. Even within the church, it's been abused. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of the church has abused it. But it comes through relationship. When you truly understand how much God loves you and how much he wants for you, it becomes very simple and very easy. Because you're not seeing it as just pure obedience. You're just seeing it as a father loving on his children. All right, you should do this. Because there's benefit if you do this. Okay, I'll do that. Or, I'm going to try this way. I mean, there's still that choice. But that's us stepping into the old man. That's not who we are. Verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of unrighteousness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Before Christ, I had Christ, but when I walked away, it was really easy to sin. Man. Really easy. It is. It's really easy, but I'm going to read on. For when you were slaves in sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. So it didn't matter. It didn't matter. You know, I wasn't following God. I didn't want to follow God, so it just didn't matter. Right? What fruit did you have then in the things of which you were ashamed? What came from it? Nothing good, nothing worthwhile came from walking without Christ. Nothing. There were brief moments of joy, but they were fleeting. They didn't last. There was no peace. I saw myself as a horrible human being. There was nothing but stress of how I was going to fix things, how I was going to change things, and I could never fix them or never change them. It doesn't matter how good we try to be or how good we don't try to be. Because if we don't have Christ, neither of it matters. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're the worst sinner or the most moral, nice person, but you don't. If you still don't have Jesus, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But now, it says in verse 22, having been set free from sin, you're free from sin. Have we stepped out of the cell and walked away? Or do we still see ourselves trapped? Do we still consider ourselves trapped? Do we believe that it's actually available? Well, that just can't be the truth. Well, then you're going to struggle. Thy word is truth. The Bible is truth. It doesn't matter if I understand everything or not, it's still truth. And I'll seek truth until I understand it. We don't just give up because we don't understand it. Right? We have to understand these promises. We have to. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. Holiness is purification. You have been purified. And you're continuing on this process of growth and holiness. You're continuing. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Are we walking in those? Are we utilizing that? Are we utilizing what we have in the Word? Are we utilizing the authority that we have? Are we utilizing the power that comes with it? Because we can. That's the best part about this. If you're not, you can. If you haven't been, start. It can be as simple as that. It really can. It's not so complicated. It's not as complicated as people make it out to be. If you're not using your power, your authority and power, start. Man, watch what happens. Believe it. Yes, I have the authority over you. You don't get to do this in my life. And then you stand on it. Because when you've let something beat you up for a long, long time, it becomes familiar. It can become of what you think you are. So there may be a fight involved, man, fight. Because you have the power of the living God. Yeah, nice. And it's all a product of relationship. Man, he loves you and he wants you to walk this life out in freedom. He wants you to walk this life out in victory. That's what he wants. Believe it. Believe it. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Praise God. The things of the world don't have to affect us. We don't have to let affect what's going on in this world right now affect us. Okay, so they're talking about inflation. Can God not provide? Can I not come out of a recession better than I was before? I believe I can. Because I've seen people who have done it. Why can't that be me? You know, all the weird stuff that's going around. There's some weird stuff going around out there right now, viruses and... Why does that have to affect me? I have a promise of healing. I have a promise of life. Why do I have to worry about now? Because I don't worry about it because I want to affect it. I don't worry about it because I have the word of God in me that says, I have more authority over that. I have more power over that. And because of that, I can affect others. I can show others the power of God. I can show others the power of Christ. I can show others what's potentially there. Once we step into fear, there it goes. Because it's not who we are. Fear is not who we are. It's not who we were meant to be. The definition of righteousness is the state of him who is as he ought to be. The state of him who is as he ought to be. The condition acceptable to God. When we're walking in fear, when we're walking in anything that's not according to the word, that is not who we are. I was once that, but I am no longer that. I have been redeemed. I have been set free. I am a new creation. I used to not be, but now I am. What am I going to do with it? Verse 23, and this is it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dawned on me this morning reading over it, for the wages, how do we get wages? We earn them. We earn them. Are we earning life? Or are we earning death? Yeah. But look at God. Look at what God gives. He gives gifts. Right? You're his child. So he wants to bestow gifts on you. He wants to bestow, he wants you to see who you truly are. I don't have to earn anything. I just have to walk with him. It's funny how we can earn, yeah, our wages is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And that's what we have. And that's what we can rejoice in. And that's the God, the good God we serve. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are so, so good. And Lord, I know that you have something good for each and every one of us here, Father. Show us your love. Show us who we are in your eyes. Reveal to us, reveal to each and every one of us, Father, who we truly are in your sight. Father, I just thank you that your word is truth and that your word is life. And as we go into this next week, Lord, help us not to forget what you have on your heart, Holy Spirit, stir us up. Stir us up. Show those opportunities that are available to share who you are and share your goodness. And I just thank you for safety and protection over everyone this week and as they go about their business. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.